Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He is Christian Hackenberg, former Penn State quarterback, NFL quarterback, now doing the media thing over at the Field of 12. It's absolutely awesome if you're a college football fan. He's on Twitter, at CHackenberg1. He joins us now. Christian, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, man, no problem. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, so before we get into college football and what's going on, USC, Urban Meyer, we do have to address the elephant in the room, which is the Memphis Express. Now, you are, you know, you are one of very few people on this planet that know what the inside operation was like with the Express. What was it like, man? How was the Memphis Express?
Man, it was a pretty crazy experience. You know, I think a lot of guys were very grateful for the opportunity, but the way, I think just the whole way that the league came out about it and how they did things, it was a little rushed, and I felt they overlooked some things, and I think that ultimately kind of hurt it, you know, in terms of it surviving. I do think it was a great thing for professional football, and the amount of talent that's out there and just guys who don't have jobs, aren't on practice squads, but can still play. I thought the concept was great, but the execution wasn't fantastic. But it was a great experience, man. Like, just being out there, getting a taste of what Memphis was like, and then also just having the opportunity to play a little bit more ball and put some and have some fun with it and still be in that locker room. That was great about it. So I really enjoyed that aspect.
I do remember, like, at least in the early goings, right? I feel like, man, you know, this actually is, you know, pretty interesting.
Initially.
Same thing with the XFL, you know, because like you said, it's serving a purpose with all these guys because there's only so many spots. But was there a moment for you, and again, you've been on NFL rosters, you were second round draft pick, you know what operations are supposed to look like. Was there a moment where you thought to yourself, my God, this thing has no chance?
Yes.
There were a few.
You ain't got to be nice here, brother.
It ain't coming back, man.
Yeah,
what happened?
No, I mean, it was just housing and how they were handling things and getting equipment in, and not even equipment, but apparel. And it was just, for the way it was portrayed to a lot of us who were going into it, I don't think the AAF as an organization held up their end of the bargain. And I don't know if that was regionally or on a team by team basis. I'm not quite sure, you know, what, I can't speak to what other organizations experienced, but specifically in Memphis, I just thought that there was a lot of over promising and under delivering, if you know what I mean. And, you know, there was a lot of things operationally that, to your point, like guys who've been there and done that could see. And we had a few guys on our roster, and we just looked at each other like, damn, dude.
did they put you in a duplex in North Memphis? Like, what was the housing situation like?
So I actually went out and got an Airbnb because I wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Wow.
So I just went and I was like, man, screw it. Fortunately, I could do it. I went out, got an Airbnb, a little long-term Airbnb out there, and then, you know, just kind of rolled with the punches. But, like I said, man, it was poorly executed. But there was a lot of really good guys with really good intentions. And I hope, like I said, I just hope something comes out of it. I hope there's some type of revival, because it's good for not just players, but all people, operations, scouts, coaches, trainers, strength coaches. It's just good to have a feeder system and build a pipeline. So, you know, hopefully someone gets it right.
Christian, on behalf of the Memphis Express and the AAF, I'd like to apologize to you for having that. And last thing on this, Singletary. You know, we had a strange interview with him, kind of to talk about the season, to say the least. What was he like in terms of coaches you played for? How high was he on the list? What was he like in terms of playing for Mike Singletary?
I think Mike's a great man. I just don't know how. He obviously spent a lot of time focusing on the defense, mm-hmm. and I don't think he really cared too much about the offensive side of the ball, and we had our own issues there. But he was a great man. I just, you know, I think it's hard. As a football coach, I wasn't super sold as a person. I was sold. I liked him a lot. I think you could gain a lot of knowledge from him just in terms of how to be a man, how to carry yourself, and things like that. But I think from a football standpoint, having him in a position where he's the head running everything, you know, I didn't quite see it. Maybe as a linebackers coach or a defensive coordinator, it would have been a little bit different. But, you know, just running the whole show, I don't know. I don't know if he was quite ready for it. But like I said, I got a ton of respect for him as a human being. It was cool for the amount of time that I got to spend with him and just see how he carried himself and how he maneuvered throughout the day. But, yeah, from an X's and O's standpoint, I don't know.
I got you.
That was kind of our whole thing. And again, we're going to talk about things other than the AAF.
That.
But our whole thing was when you know, the AAF was announced and Memphis was getting a team, like the idea that we would hire, you know, in Memphis a defensive-minded person rather than somebody that's going to go out and try to score 78 points a game.
Right.
We rejected that. Last thing on this, because you saw it up close and personal, there's been a lot of talk in Memphis the last week or two because they got left out of the Big 12 about the Liberty Bowl and about, you know, not just updating or upgrading it, but building a new stadium in this city besides the Liberty Bowl. What did you think of your time in the Liberty Bowl? Like, a lot of people think it's a dump. Did you think it was better than that? Like, what was your opinion of that stadium? You've played in a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think there definitely needs to be some updating. But as it pertains to like the locker room, like it was nice. Like the locker room was nice. It was a good thing to operate out of. But I think just the feel, you know, you look at it from the outside and it just looks dated. And I think in order to get into a conference like that, the school needs to make investments in that arms race. And you look across the country, I mean, everyone's doing it. Like
exactly.
Even people who don't need new stuff, they're out there trying to get new things and shiny toys and, you know, so I just think from a standpoint of it, it just needs to be updated. You know, I'm obviously really appreciative of it, and it was cool, and I thought they had some nice things. But overall, top to bottom, I think it just needed a total facelift, a revamp.
No doubt.
And maybe building the new ones the best way to go.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to have to spend $150 million on upgrades to bring it up to, you know, you might as well just at that point, you know, find the other part of that money. We're talking to Christian Hackenberg here. Catch him on Field of 12 After Dark. Absolute great stuff if you are a college football fan. USC has an opening. Urban Meyer says he's committed to Jacksonville. So does that mean Urban Meyer is going to be the next coach of USC?
I don't know, man. I think it's just interesting watching Urban's career path and the decisions he's made and the timing of some things when he's left places. But I do really think for him, he's built programs. He's been there, done that. And I don't know if he necessarily wants to do that again at the college ranks where he's at in his career. And I think, you know, this is his last challenge. And I feel that he wants to really attack that at the NFL level. And I don't see anything pulling him away from Jacksonville. And I think he's got a lot more control down there too, in terms of personnel and things like that than what people think. So that's always a good thing to have when you're trying to build a program and revamp an entire organization. So I think he's pretty locked in Jacksonville.
Does Florida have a chance here against Alabama this weekend, Christian? I mean, they're 14.5-point underdogs, and I think the stat I saw, the Tide have won 76 straight. That's it, 76 consecutive games as double-digit favorites. What do you think the chances are Florida can make this a game? Can they?
I don't. I'm you know, going into the preseason, we were talking about it a little bit on our show. It's just there's these George Whitfield always refers to them as the five families, and they've just been so consistent. And I think Alabama, the way they've played up until this point, I mean, they romped a Miami team that had a ton of hype coming into that game. And Miami hasn't been the same since. You know, they struggled with App State last week. I think the guys they have, the athletes they have, the coaching staff, and the standard that Nick Saban holds that team to, and especially this early in the season, I think Florida's still trying to find their identity offensively. They're going to have to win a track meet, and that defense isn't going to let that happen as it pertains to Alabama. So I think Alabama's going
to
roll.
Does it feel like a season where a Georgia could knock them off, or are we talking rolling all the way to the national championship for you with Alabama?
No, I mean, that was my preseason, like, I guess not sleeper pick. I didn't want to pick Alabama because it's the easy pick. So I think Georgia is the closest thing to be, and I think this is their year. And the only reason I say that is I go back to the quarterback play. They have JT.
Yes, sir.
And Bennett down there, Stinson. Not sure if I said his name right, but he played last week. Mm-hmm. They have some experience at that position, and then I think what Georgia did defensively against Clemson was that puts them in Alabama from that side of the ball in a completely different ballpark than most people, and even Clemson's up there too because they had a good showing, but just offensively they couldn't quite keep up. So I do think that Georgia has a chance this year, and if it's any year, this is the year for Kirby and them, okay. And they should be getting really excited for that.
I like that.
Well, we know the money is going to change dramatically for Texas and Oklahoma by joining the SEC. But more specifically for Texas, it feels like to me, because they, you know, a lot of years it's them and Oklahoma in the Big 12, and now they're going to be joining a league where it's not just going to be you and Oklahoma. You're going to have Florida. You're going to have Georgia. You're going to have Alabama. Do you think that Texas fans are going to lament this move in 5, 10, 15 years because – are they going to be able to – is there going to be a year where you could say Texas is competing for championships in that league on an annual basis? Like, what do you think it looks like for Texas when they finally do join the SEC?
Yeah, man, it's been so frustrating for me watching Texas over the years because I always say this, you look back and there's a handful of programs that when they're good, it's great for college football. And Texas is one of them, historically speaking, and they just haven't quite been able to get over that hump since, Colt had him there a little bit, but really since Matt Brown was there, and it's just been this just revolving door of trying to build culture and it not working and then bringing somebody else in and then having to wait 3 more years until they get their kids in there. And so it's just hard and it sucks because I think, you know, this move with Sark there right now, if they can establish a culture and a winning culture heading into the SEC, I don't think that they're going to be too bummed about it. But if this hire with Sark ends up kind of being one of those things where it's just back into that revolving door of, I don't know, we didn't give him enough time. You know, he's not had an established guy at the quarterback position that's been able to lead him. I think that's where it's going to be like, maybe we should just stick with where we're at and try and win this conference first before we try and go mess with the big boys. Yeah. But if they can do something now and establish something, I think it'll be all right. But they have a little bit of time, and we'll see.
I got to ask you, we'd be remiss not to. You got Auburn, number 22, coming in there to play your Penn State guys. What will you be watching closest, Christian? Matchup, performance, what are you going to have your eye on first during that one?
Yeah, well, I think obviously that environment is going to be insane. And I know I'm talking as a Penn State guy, but they haven't had a whiteout up there for 2 years. It's going to be – you can already feel it, and I'm talking to people up there. I just had a conversation with one of the guys that used to work with football today this morning about it, and he said campus is nuts. So I think that's going to be something, and it's going to be comparable, but I've been to Alabama, I've been to LSU, and I'm telling you right now that whiteout is right up there with any of the big venues in college football. So I think that's going to be a factor. But really, I'm watching. I want to see if Bo Nix can take care of the football. Mm-hmm. I saw a stat the other day. He's 10 touchdowns and 10 interceptions on road games.
Wow.
And the thing is the defense at Penn State has really shown me something up until this point this year, and I think that's a lot of credit to this coaching staff in terms of how they've built that team. They're really athletic east to west. They got some ball hawks in the backfield, on the defensive backfield. So they're going to be very opportunistic, and I think Bo's got to avoid that at all costs because once that momentum goes, it can really spiral for teams. And then offensively for Penn State, I thought they got in a little bit of a rhythm last week, and they've had so much turnover from a philosophy standpoint over the past few years. it's just I'm really pulling for Yurcich. I got to talk to him a few times this offseason. I think he's a great fit up there from a culture standpoint, a mentality standpoint. And I'm just excited to see. I said this yesterday when I was talking with Josh Perry on the other Field of 12 podcast we do surrounding Big Ten football. I think this year has a lot of feel of the 2016 year with Joe Moorhead.
Yeah.
And if they can have that Minnesota-type win early in the season that they had without the Pitt loss, obviously, against a non-conference team like Auburn and really get rolling, I think Ohio State's vulnerable this year too. So that's one of those family of five guys. So I think it puts Penn State in a really good position to really take control of the East and represent the Big Ten in a college football playoff scenario if they get this done and take care of business throughout the year. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm curious to see the offense, and then defensively, they need to get some takeaways early.
Hey, Christian, man, we appreciate
really
you joining
this,
us.
Man.
We appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time with the Express, man. Thanks as always, man.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Hackenberg. Catch him on Field of 12, After Dark, JP and Hack Show also on the Field of 12.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.